We've been discussing a variety of issues concerning the Lansing City Council lately here on Current State. We want to welcome Adam Hussein, who serves on the council as a representative of the 3rd Ward, Southwest Lansing. His name has come up quite a bit lately in our discussions about the Southwest Initiative, a marijuana ordinance, the South Washington Park apartments, and other topics. Adam Hussein, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We are at work. I was originally going to start with the South Washington Park apartments because you've been pretty directly involved in that. But given what's happened just in recent days involving the evolution of a marijuana ordinance here for Lansing, I'm under the impression the city's at work now on a fifth iteration of a marijuana ordinance. Generally, from your perspective, Adam, where is the city in this process, and what are your priorities in this process?
Let me just provide just a bit of context, because
sure.
To truly understand where I'm at, you have to understand the history, and your listeners have to understand that. So we're 8 years at this point past, post-referendum, I should say. So in 2008, the voters in Michigan approved the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. And the idea was that we were going to provide those individuals with debilitating conditions medical options to alleviate some of those chronic pains associated with that. Unfortunately, that ordinance, or I should say that state statute, I'm sorry, was silent on dispensaries. And so some savvy individuals, some business-minded individuals, if you will, I think saw an opportunity. And so we started to see these dispensaries crop up. Well, a number of municipalities started to take kind of reactionary, if you will, stances, and they started to pass moratoriums. They started to pass outright bans. And the city of Lansing in 2010 passed a moratorium. What that allowed the city to do, and I should say the city council, was to craft a medical marijuana ordinance. And in 2011, that ordinance was crafted, it was passed, and it went to an effect. The problem was that same year, there was a appellate court decision that essentially struck down the legality of medical marijuana dispensaries. And so the attorney general comes in and essentially says that prosecutors can start to shut down these dispensaries using local public nuisance laws. 2013, in a case known as Michigan versus McQueen, the Supreme Court essentially upheld that decision. But right here in Lansing, we never actually enforced any of that. We did send a cease and desist letter out in 2011. Attorney at the time was Brick Smith, and out of the 70 dispensaries, 50 did willfully close down. 20 remained. And as I think they saw, essentially, that this would not be enforced, some of these decisions and some of these opinions would not be enforced, we saw that number continue to balloon, and again, we are at that 70 number. So I want to applaud the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce. I want to applaud Rejuvenating South Lansing. My colleagues on public safety, because there started to be this clamor for both a moratorium, which did go in effect in this past May, and then an ordinance. Okay, so the question was this: if we're not going to shut these dispensaries down, can we put something that's enforceable in place? Because we are being told that the 2011 ordinance is not enforceable. So the Office of the City Attorney got busy, and they have presented us with a. Like you said, a few different drafts. We are working on draft number 4 right now. So we're vetting this thing line by line, page by page. And what will happen is they'll take essentially that input, if you will. And then this is my understanding. They will provide us with a fifth draft based on some of the suggestions
okay,
by the committee.
Okay, so I was right. It is basically, you expect a fifth
sure.
draft. What, in your view, Adam, what does an ordinance have to address?
I think the reality is we cannot have an industry that is completely unregulated and unchecked in this city. Okay, we have to know. My primary concern is that the individuals that are accessing this medicinal marijuana, that they are able to access it in a safe and secure way, that they know what they're ingesting, they know that what they're ingesting is safe. And so that's number one. Number two, we have to do this in a way that protects the neighborhoods, that protect our corridors, adjacent businesses. Again, we want to enhance the credibility of this industry. Right now, there is not a lot of credibility. There are some dispensary owners, essentially, that are making a mockery of the law. So there are some things that we want to do with this ordinance to, again, provide safe and secure access while protecting neighborhoods and while protecting our corridors.
Does the number of marijuana businesses need to go down in Lansing, and should that be addressed by an ordinance?
Well, if you're going to ask me personally, do I think 70 is excessive? I do. I do. Even in the legislative intent of this ordinance, the reality is that we are looking at providing safe and secure access to the residents in Lansing, okay, and we are trying to provide for public health and welfare for the residents in Lansing. I don't think it is our job to essentially provide the medicinal marijuana need for the entire state of Michigan, or at least mid-Michigan. So Personally, yes, I believe we have too many. With that said, what I am interested in seeing through this ordinance is those that are credible, those that can make it through the vetting process, that those are the dispensaries that remain open. And if it ends up being 40, I guess it's 40. If it ends up being 20, it's 20.
What if it ends up being 60 or 70?
Again, on a personal level, I have an issue with that. But again, you know, we're looking at zoning. We're looking at spatial limitations. We're looking at, so I don't think that happens. The reality is this. The reason we have 70 mark is because, again, there is no vetting process. There is no licensing process. Everybody that has a dream of opening up a restaurant in the city of Lansing can't do that. I mean, you have to be qualified. There are hoops you have to jump through there.
Do you think that the proposed fee of $5,000, there would be, what's being considered is a fee, $5,000 fee and a $10,000 renewal fee every year to renew the license. Do you think if that, do you support that proposal, and would that cut the number of marijuana businesses down, do you think?
So I guess I have a couple of things to discuss here. Number one, this is all theoretical at this point. So we're discussing obviously those application fees. Obviously we're discussing the renewal fees. Nothing is set in stone at this point. And so we have to take a look at what is the cost essentially of doing business. It takes a lot of money for us to vet these applicants. It takes a lot of money to make sure that these dispensaries are in compliance and things of that nature. So we have to have the money to have that enforcement piece so that we can actually enforce this ordinance once it's on the books. But the other thing is that, you know, this idea that this is the application fee, the renewal fee, that this is too excessive. You know, I've been to a number of dispensaries. I've tried to inform myself as best I possibly can. So I've talked to the patient advocates. I've talked to the neighborhood leaders. I've been in several dispensaries. And they've been pretty candid that they are making quite a bit of money. As a matter of fact, one dispensary owner told me he's pulling down about $10,000 a day. So the money is there to pay these types of fees, absolutely.
Well, that would suggest that more than 40 of these businesses may well be able to handle the registration and license renewal fees. How do you feel about that?
Again, for me, it's, you know, and that's not even the piece of the ordinance that I've been focused on. Again, I'm focused on the vetting of the applicants. I'm focused on the spatial limitations, making sure that these aren't near churches and parks and schools. And so that's the part I think that is really going to mitigate some of that number.
But you're prepared to let, pardon me, the business landscape and business owners' capacity to pay these fees, if it ends up being 55 to 70, what I'm hearing you say is you're okay with it. You would prefer many fewer, but if it turns out to be 55 to 70, then you're prepared to roll with that.
Well, I don't want to mix messages. I am not okay with 55 to 70. And I believe that the ordinance, even as written today, without us going in there and obviously making some changes and amending that chapter as written, even today, it is not going to allow Mark for 55 to 70,
okay.
Simply because of the zoning, the spatial limitations, it's just not going to happen.
I'm cribbing a little bit from Eric Lacey's reporting in the Lansing State Journal. Apparently, Police Chief Mike Yankowski said on Tuesday that enforcement of a medical marijuana ordinance would be a challenge for the Lansing police, but not impossible. And apparently the department is currently down about 20 officers, but Chief Yankowski says he's optimistic that about 15 officers will be hired by August 22nd. So that's pretty soon. Do you have concerns about enforcement should an ordinance move forward?
Of course I do, because we've seen things obviously in the past not be enforced. But again, I think this collective voice that is emerging in Lansing is loud enough that I believe our administration will prioritize this. And we are actually having Chief Yankowski into our Public Safety Committee on Friday. And of course, we plan on asking him some questions, some very deliberate questions about this ordinance and the enforcement of this ordinance. But with that said, I was encouraged as well. So I did read that report, that just came out yesterday. So I'm encouraged. Again, we'll continue to work with Mike and the LPD to make sure that this is enforced.
You've been involved in the South Washington Park Apartments issues lately. We've been discussing them here on Current State. This is a public housing apartment complex, a HUD property overseen by the Lansing Housing Commission, which has experienced historically a lot of problems, poor conditions, violence, poor security. We had representatives of the Housing Commission on Current State, recently Patricia Baines Lake, its executive director, and Tony Baltimore, the board president. They said they were eager to work with residents on solutions to the problems the complex faces. Talk to us about what are your thoughts on the way forward here?
Well, and again, I'm glad you provided that context. This is not a new issue. I think that's part of the problem. So this dates all the way back to 2010. So in January, when I came on as council representative for the third ward, now I'm their direct representative, they're calling me. It afforded me the opportunity to get in there. It afforded me the opportunity to get in there and to experience some of the issues, I think, firsthand. And obviously the violence, obviously some of the unsanitary conditions. You know, I was invited into, you know, unit after unit, and there were serious issues with regards to bed bugs and just general issues with upkeep. And so moving forward, I'll tell you what. And I want to be clear here, too. 95% to 96% of the individuals that live specifically at 3200, I believe, are good individuals. They're lease compliant. And so I do not want to paint this picture of the individuals there as everybody is out of control and everybody's breaking their lease and everybody's bringing in outsiders to prey on the few good actors, if you will. There are some incredible individuals at 3200 South Washington and some individuals that actually would consider friends at this point. Moving forward, what we would like to see is the Lansing Housing Commission, and I'm working at this point with Tony Baltimore in earnest, but we would like them to clean some things up, if you will. I think they need a top-down analysis of their employees, to be quite frank. And I think because these issues have been allowed to persist for so long, I think the question has to be asked, who needs to go?
How many employees are we talking about?
It's tough to say right now, and
how many employees does the complex have?
Well, and here's the issue, and I'm talking LHC, so Lansing Housing Commission, kind of you know across the board. It's tough to tell right now because if you go on their site, there are a number of vacancies, but then again, the website's not updated, so I really don't know. If you're talking about 3200, essentially what you have is an asset manager, an assistant asset manager, you have a part time essentially secretary, and then you have three general maintenance staff. But in terms of Lansing Housing Commission and some of the systemic issues that have been allowed to persist within the Lansing Housing Commission, I think there needs to be a top-down analysis of all employees, not just those individuals that are directly involved with 3200, because they own and operate five properties, and many of these properties are troubled, to be quite frank.
So six employees altogether dealing directly with South Washington Park Apartments.
If fully manned.
Yeah.
That's my understanding, yes.
Now, I'm hearing that Patricia Baines Lake may be stepping down from the Housing Commission.
She is,
and
candidly speaking, Mark, I think that provides the Lansing Housing Commission with a tremendous opportunity. I think what we're going to do here, what we hope to see, is a casting of a wide net, the bringing in of truly some highly qualified individuals that have proven track records of turning entities around, such as the Lansing Housing Commission, that have seen better days. And so, again, candidly speaking, I think they have a fantastic opportunity in front of them. I would hate to see them, honestly, promote from within. I would like to see, and obviously they don't answer to me, but I would like to see the mayor and Tony Baltimore and that board of commissioners get serious about bringing somebody in from the outside that has fresh ideas and a new perspective and that can look at things objectively and, again, conduct something like a top-down analysis and determine who needs to go, who needs to stay, who can we scaffold and support to make sure that they're on these sites facilitating the change that these residents deserve. They deserve a good, safe, appropriate place to live.
Earlier this year, you went to South Washington Park, and
sure.
And I understand you were threatened during your visit there. Can you describe what happened and what you took from that experience?
Well, I was knocking doors. I was very deliberate about when I went. I went during weekdays. I went during the weeknight. I went on the weekend. I wanted to see what were the challenges. Did it elevate when management wasn't on site? And this happened to be at night. And I was up on the fifth floor, and I was knocking on doors. It was clear what I was doing because I was leaving flyers on doors that individuals hadn't answered essentially the door. And somebody did come up and say that if I didn't get off the property, they would shoot me. Now, understand, again, that was one person. Every other door I knocked on, when I could get somebody to answer that door and I talked to them, they were fantastic. They invited me into their units. But they were very candid, too. They said that, you know, essentially what's being allowed is 4 to 5% of the individuals that are there that aren't lease compliant, that aren't adhering essentially to the occupancy agreement, a piece of the lease, that they're bringing in outsiders that are preying on this very vulnerable demographic. You're talking about seniors, you're talking about individuals with disabilities, you're talking about single parents that are trying to raise young children. And for some people, that is appealing in terms of being able to prey upon that demographic. So that did happen. I did file a police report. But again, that is not the picture we want to paint of the people at 3200.
Did that incident change your thoughts, though, as to what needs to happen at South Washington Park?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, Mark, one of the biggest things is, you know, we've talked about empowering the residents there, you know, making them, or I should say scaffolding a neighborhood watch group or scaffolding a resident council group or something of that nature. But the reality is we have to get the bad actors out first. We have to start making sure that we're looking at those screening procedures. We're looking at those eviction policies and we get that 5 to 6% out, because the reality is they are running roughshod over that property. And so there are a lot of individuals that fear retaliation because they're threatened with their life.
How many bad actors are there?
Again, I'd say, you know, you have 5 floors, you have 188 units, and I would say there's probably anywhere from 4 to 6%.
A HUD complaint was filed, and you see changes at the Lansing Housing Commission as instrumental in that process?
I think it's absolutely imperative. Yeah.
Does the atmosphere at the Housing Commission need to change before you can deal with those bad actors?
I think absolutely. And that's why I say I hope that, and Tony Baltimore has been very responsive over these last few weeks. We've been sitting down, we've been meeting, we're trying to work again with each other in earnest. But again, I don't think you can promote somebody from within, somebody that has been kind of submerged in that failed culture, and think that things are going to change. Mm. I really don't believe that.
A HUD complaint was filed against the city council recently over the Sabori development plan for Old Town. Do you know what the status of that complaint is?
In terms of the HUD complaint, my understanding is there's been no movement.
And you were one of four on the council who voted against the Sabori development. Carol Wood explained to us this wasn't a vote against the development completely, but it was specifically because of the level of tax breaks that Mr. Sabori wanted for the development. Was that your reasoning when voting? Was that your reasoning as well?
Well, you know, I have to tread lightly here because there is a federal lawsuit that has been filed by the developer. And so what I'll tell you is just kind of generally speaking, this isn't something new, Mark, to this council. Council has been questioning the sustainability of these pilots since 1998. There's been moratoriums, ordinances. And so in 2016, here we are facing a $600 million in excess of unfunded liability. We've cut $60 million from the general fund over the last 10 years. We're doing less with less. And so the question is, of the 4% variety, can we sustain pilots? I don't believe we can. I've not lost one wink of sleep over my vote, and I wouldn't vote differently if it was today.
I wound you up with a big issue here, and I've got to cut you short. But we really appreciate your time here today. You've explained a lot of things. Adam Hussein serves on the Lansing City Council as a representative of the 3rd Ward. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks a lot.